All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome on into the Auburn Daily Show. Lance Dahl, Zach Blackerby hanging out here with you. We are about to dive into a couple of interesting topics today. SEC Media Days, the 2023 schedule has been released. Auburn,
yes.
Hugh Freeze, not speaking on the last day. Thankfully, that's kind of been a trend here, either Monday or the last day of SEC Media Days, but Freeze is not going to be speaking on either of those. Going to talk about that and the schedule later on in the show. We're also going to talk about Philip Montgomery, an interesting comment from a national sports columnist. We're going to talk about Philip and what he could do for the Auburn offense this season. Got an interesting article about that over at auburndaily.com. Before we get into any of this, I want to remind you guys to please check out all of our written work over at auburndaily.com. Also, if you're not following on the socials at The Auburn Daily on Twitter. You can also find us on Facebook as well. Zach, the 2023 SEC Media Day schedule has been released. This was in Birmingham just a couple of years ago. It's kind of ping pong back and forth between there, Atlanta, and now Nashville is where it's going to be held this season. Really, really fun place to go and talk college football. Wonder how many Vanderbilt fans are going to be in attendance in Nashville.
Well, I think that's what's kind of interesting about, you know, as you said, Hugh Freeze is going on the second day. That'll be Tuesday, July 18th. But he'll go with Kirby Smart, Zach Arnett, who's obviously going to have a ton of storylines and things that he will need to address. And then Clark Lee, the hometown coach, the Vanderbilt. So I kind of wonder, Hugh Freeze, it's weird because he's a new head coach, but he's may have like one of the least interesting storylines of those four guys that are going on that day. So what all does that actually mean for Auburn? I don't know. I don't necessarily know the answer to that, but that's a loaded day. When you talk about storylines, whether it's good or bad, there's going to be a lot of attention in Nashville on that second day when Hugh Freeze is there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to preface this by saying that, you know, these schedules have been announced for these individual days, right? But it's in alphabetical order per coach. So just because Hugh Freeze is listed first on Tuesday does not mean he's actually going to go first on Tuesday. I can only imagine. I'm going to go out on a limb and assume Kirby Smart goes first, just based on what I've seen over the past couple of seasons. But I may be wrong on that. But like you mentioned, Zach, absolutely. I think all these guys have interesting storylines for different reasons. But Hugh Freeze may be one of the least interesting. I kind of like that, though, for Auburn. I like the fact that the Tigers are able to kind of stay under the radar. I think that that's kind of been the cliche thing to say, right? Is the more Auburn's underrated, the more Auburn's not talked about, the more successful they find themselves being whenever football season actually rolls around. You look at guys like Kirby Smart, obviously coming off a national title, back-to-back titles. Actually, is he going for a three-peat? Zach Arnett, like you said, a lot of questions to answer. I think on both sides of the ball, Arnett may be the one guy that gets asked the most questions about scheme. I think on both sides of the ball, considering his whole big thing is the 3-3-5, and I think there's going to be a lot of questions asked about what he does kind of moving away from the air raid if they do choose to do that, what that offense could look like.
I mean, maybe, but I don't think coaches typically get asked football questions at media days. I think it's going to be all questions about, like, how do you redirect the program after, you know, the guy that you took over for was so beloved and passed away tragically. I mean, I think it's going to be more about that. I think it's going to be just as much about Mike Leach as it will be Coach Arnett. And so I don't know if I mean, possibly. I mean, from a football standpoint, there's a ton of questions he's got to answer. I don't know if he'll be asked those, Lance.
That's fair. And I think as a whole, you're probably not going to agree with you. See a lot of different football questions. I'm just saying if there are going to be some asked, like, to be honest with you, if you move past the obviously what you said with Mike Leach being the focal point of, like, how do you redirect this program now that he's tragically passed away, I think that he is the coach that does have the most questions to answer in that department. So maybe we don't see the questions, but I certainly think, you know, coming in closer to the season, we'll have those questions asked. And then Clark Lee, a guy that nobody believed in last year, albeit one voter who placed Vanderbilt first in the SEC media poll, he magically somehow went 5-7 and just barely got near bowl eligibility. Really impressed with what he did in his second season with the Commodores. Second season, if I'm not mistaken.
Maybe
curious to see what his response will be.
Yeah, because he got hired at the same time Brian Harsin did, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So, I don't know, man. Like Clark Lee's presser last year, his time at the podium was probably the most boring press conference, most boring person I've ever listened to. And I covered local news for 3 years, right? Like, I mean, there's a lot of boring pressers out there. Clark Lee behind a microphone, wild. So let's run through the full lineup here. Monday, July the 17th, they will open things up. Sankey will speak. Obviously, he pretty much will command the entire morning if it's somewhat traditional of what we've normally seen at SEC Media Days. And so that way, it's just three teams. It'll be Brian Kelly, head coach at LSU, Eli Drinkwitz, Missouri, and then Jimbo Fisher, Texas A&M. And we already went over Tuesday, Hugh Freeze, Kirby Smart, Zach Arnett, Clark Lee. Wednesday will be Nick Saban, Sam Pittman of Arkansas, G5 Billy Napier of Florida, and Mark Stoops of Kentucky. And then Thursday, July 20th, to wrap it up, Lane Kiffin, Shane Beamer, and Josh Heupel. And those are going to be three very energetic coaches to end the week on. I love that. When we're all dragging Thursday morning because of the long week, we'll get a nice pick-me-up because we get to cover Lane Kiffin. So that'll be fun.
I think that this is definitely a really solid schedule in terms of like the order that they're appearing. But something, Zach, I think that we have not really considered, obviously the schedule just came out. Do you think at this point we will have answers as to what the future SEC schedule will look like with Texas and Oklahoma? Because based on what we're hearing, there may be some type of discussion like there was last spring. There's going to be another one this year about kind of, you know, figuring that thing out, or at least moving towards figuring it out. Do you think by the time we get to media days, that will be a talking point? Because you look at Jimbo Fisher at A&M day one, he's going to be asked about two things: how he's going to bounce back from last year, and then how he's going to handle potentially moving into a pod or whatever the SEC is going to do with Oklahoma and Texas on the horizon.
Yeah, I think we'll have a better idea by then. It also would be fun strategically for the SEC to announce it then. We saw the, you know, Texas and Oklahoma news leak 2 years ago. Seems like a lot longer than that during SEC media days. And Sankey gets done doing a radio interview and he turns around and there's like 40 people like getting ready to interview him. And so they did kind of an impromptu press conference right there on the spot. Maybe you see something similar happen there, but I just got a feeling we'll know a little bit before then. I don't know if we'll have like announced, you know, teams or anything like that quite yet. Like, you know, Auburn every year is going to play Alabama, Georgia, and insert third team. I don't know if we'll know the answer to that all at the same time. But, you know, media days, no other conference handles media days like the SEC does. All the other ones are either 1 day or 2 days. You get a freaking week for the SEC. And so it always commands a lot of attention. And boy, that would be some really big news if they were able to do it that week. I think strategically they should do it that week. That'd be a lot of fun.
If you're looking at Hugh Freeze and this batch of SEC head coaches, obviously year one on the plains, what do you think some of the talking points are going to be for Hugh Freeze? Are we going to see anything that we haven't necessarily heard already in terms of questions asked to him or things he's already said?
No, and I think some of the posturing could change because spring will already have happened, and then we'll have a May window. So, you know, if there's a new quarterback on campus, I think it changes things a little bit. But I bet whatever we're hearing from Hugh Freeze at the end of spring is exactly what we'll hear in front of the national media at SEC Media Days. I mean, if one thing, it doesn't matter, you know, he came on Locked On Auburn. You know, he's gone on a few other shows and he's done several, you know, talking in front of head coaches throughout the high school ranks and his press conferences. He's kind of saying the same thing over and over again. Like he's not, even if you're like he's being asked different questions, he's got this pool of like eight answers that he's clinging to right now, which isn't a bad thing. I'm not critiquing that at all. I think he's very strategic and this is the message that he wants to get out right now. And I think whatever his message is towards the end of spring is going to be his message when he takes the podium. And it's probably going to be about recruiting Auburn's 2024 and 2025 class. And then we'll see if Auburn adds another quarterback through the portal. And if not, it'll probably be something about the, you know, they still got to grow up. He's demanding more about, you know, the quarterback position than these guys have ever done in their history of playing football and all that stuff. I expect more of the same, Lance.
So there you have it, the 2023 SEC Media Days schedule. Again, Hugh Freeze speaking on Tuesday, July 18th, along with Kirby Smart, Zach Arnett, and Clark Lee. If you want to go check out the entire list and schedule, you can head over to auburndaily.com to find that. Before we talk about Auburn OC Philip Montgomery, I want to tell you guys about our friends over at NordVPN. Staying safe online is an ever-growing difficulty. It's very easy to get exploited online. Nowadays, Zach, you recently actually just got a new computer. And so as somebody who has that new really nice computer, you want to make sure that you stay safe while you're browsing online so that you don't catch any viruses, tear your computer up. NordVPN can absolutely help you stay safe. They allow you to do things like change your IP address, make you harder to track. They can secure your privacy really easily. And if you check out the link in the description today, you can check out the deal that they are giving Auburn Daily listeners and readers. So again, thank you so much to NordVPN for sponsoring this video, and make sure you guys stay safe online. All right, Zach, we had an interesting article go up just a day ago about Auburn's new offensive coordinator, Philip Montgomery. So Connor O'Gara of Saturday Down South joined McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. This was this is a radio show over in Birmingham
on Jocks.
And O'Gara was asked to name, I believe, his two favorite coordinator hires in the SEC, among other things that they talked about. But the thing that O'Gara clung to outside of talking about Kentucky's Liam Cohen, who he loves to talk about because they look very similar, he said that he was intrigued by Auburn's Philip Montgomery as a hire. He started talking about how fascinated he was with the decision. He said that it's kind of been swept under the rug because Hugh Freeze has kind of been the guy that's like, okay, well, he's the offensive-minded guy. He's going to be the one to control this room. But you have to assume, what O'Gara said, that there's going to be a certain amount of play calling made by Philip Montgomery, and that was confirmed just a few weeks ago by Hugh Freeze. Whenever he was asked about that, he said he's going to be calling the plays to some extent, but Montgomery's probably going to be the one. His staff is going to be the ones making the decisions for the most part. But O'Gara kind of dug into what this offense could look like with Robbie Ashford and Philip Montgomery in tandem. And I think personally, Zach, that this is something that we've talked about a lot since the hire was made, but it's interesting to get somebody else's perspective. It's also interesting to get another perspective whenever it comes to talking about like guys like RG3, who also had some interesting things to say about Montgomery as well.
Yeah. And O'Gara's got this quote that he said on Jocks. He said, quote, "I remember talking to RG3 about this back in October. He called the first start Robbie Ashford had in that game against Mizzou, and he came away from it saying, if Robbie Ashford could ever work with someone like Philip Montgomery, who RG3 played for at Baylor, then he could be the perfect guy to kind of maximize his potential as a thrower and get him to understand his progression. And don't you know, that's who he ends up with," which is kind of wild, kind of a wild perspective. But I think when you think about mobile quarterbacks, you know, there's five or six guys that pop up: RG3, Lamar Jackson, and like Robbie Ashford clearly is explosive with his feet. He just hasn't really been able to pull it all together, and he's young, Lance. Like, I don't think anybody, I didn't, whenever Robbie Ashford transferred to Auburn, I don't think anybody ever thought that he was like actually in the race. Cause I mean, that was around the time when Calzada was coming as well. And it's just like Robbie Ashford wasn't really labeled as the headliner in the quarterback room. And then one thing led to another, and here we are. And so I think he's going to get a chance to start. I think he's got a chance to, he's probably the favorite of all of Auburn's quarterbacks that are currently on the roster right now, as far as most likely to win the job. Do I think he'll be Auburn's starting quarterback in 23? I kind of go back and forth on it, Lance. I don't know if he has everything that Hugh Freeze wants in a quarterback. And I don't know if anybody else on the roster has that either.
Yeah, so that's what I was about to bring this to, is Robbie Ashford. I think obviously you hear the same words and phrases thrown out. He kind of fits the mold of X, Y, and Z. He's dynamic. He's a dual threat, all these different things, Zach. But what has really made Hugh Freeze offenses and Philip Montgomery offenses tick is a quarterback that can throw the ball downfield and throw it downfield with accuracy. And obviously the dual threat ability is something that's added onto that, that is proven to give Hugh Freeze success in the past. We actually wrote an article about that over at auburndaily.com about the more Hugh Freeze quarterbacks run, the more wins the team ends up having, which is maybe not a direct correlation, but I digress. This season, looking at the makeup of Auburn's roster, I like the idea of Robbie Ashford coming back and playing in this system if he becomes a better passer. And so, like you said, I don't necessarily know if he fits perfectly what Hugh Freeze and Montgomery want to do. So I think the question then has to be asked, okay, if none of these quarterbacks on this roster are truly perfect in the way that Hugh Freeze and Montgomery want to operate, does Auburn end up getting somebody post-spring in the transfer portal? And so I think that's definitely a possibility.
Yeah, I think they do. I think the quality of who that quarterback is may be based on a few things. Mm-hmm. One is, do quarterbacks better than Robbie Ashford, TJ Finley, and Holden Gerner enter the portal? I think that's one aspect of it.
Yep.
And two, you know, how do these three guys perform in spring? And also, who leaves? Like, I would be surprised if Auburn kept TJ, Robbie, and Holden all on the roster. I would just be surprised if no one transferred. TJ is going to graduate at the end of the semester, so he'll be able to grad transfer for free. And then you look at, you know, Holden. What if Holden looks at this and goes through a spring and is like, man, you know, I'm like only a year younger than Robbie, and Robbie's getting way more reps than me. And like, how does Holden respond to that? Mm-hmm. So like, really the only guy that's stuck is Robbie. So we'll see how other quarterbacks respond to that. I was talking to John Garcia, you know, the recruiting expert, and that guy knows a lot about blue chip quarterbacks, especially from the high school ranks. And he was sharing some stats with me. It's like close to 50% of the blue chip quarterbacks for the last two or three years are either currently in the portal or have portaled to somewhere else.
Wow.
And Holden Gerner's in that, right? Holden Gerner was a four star, so he's a blue chip quarterback. And so that's kind of what we're looking at, Lance. And so I don't exactly know how you keep all three of those guys, if you want to keep all three of those guys. So needless to say, if you lose quarterback, I think you've got to replenish them. You're getting Hank Brown, who will be on campus this summer, but I don't think as far as 2023, you're expecting Hank Brown to be that guy or even to be a piece. So yeah, you probably need to go get a veteran of some sort and say, hey, yeah, you've got a chance to compete in the fall.
So that's what I was about to say, is I don't necessarily think it impacts Auburn this season, but I certainly think it does impact the room as far as, oh, Hugh Freeze has already gone out and gotten a quarterback. When you look at a guy like Holden Gerner, it's like, oh, well, he's already brought in another freshman, the baby goat, of course,
right?
And Hank Brown. So if I'm in that quarterback room as somebody like Holden Gerner, as somebody like TJ Finley, if I want playing time and I want to go somewhere and compete, I would probably start to think about making that decision, especially post spring. If, like you said, things shake out or Ashford, who is the incumbent, just right, kind of continues to keep that number one role. So it's all dependent on whether or not, like, again, you mentioned, what type of player enters the transfer portal. Would they fit the mold, first of all? Are they experienced enough to kind of direct the offense better than maybe Robbie Ashford could this season? And I think this is something that you and I don't remember if we discussed this off air or on air, Zach. There's this definitely a world where Auburn does find that grad transfer quarterback, whoever that may be, or an experienced quarterback. He gets 1 year with Auburn. Robbie Ashford sits behind him, and a Hugh Freeze system gets to develop in this offseason throughout this year as a backup. And then we see Robbie Ashford in 2024 start to direct a Hugh Freeze offense. That could be potentially exciting as well.
I think if you do that, you probably lose Holden. Mm-hmm. Like, are we cool with that? Do we love the upside of Robbie enough to sacrifice the upside and maybe a higher floor long term than Holden Gerner? Like, are we cool with that? I think that's really what it comes down to. But yeah, I mean, I think if everybody's just okay with that timeline, I think that could be the best for everybody long term. But also, like, we just don't know, like, how does Robbie respond if he doesn't win the job this year after kind of being the presumed starter and all of this? I think all of that is that's what's going to make the spring fun. This is what's going to make the first 15 days of May extremely fun. And then obviously fall camp is going to be super, super important.
I think that's a word that we should start using more often as we kind of wade deeper into this offseason, is the word fun. I think this offense is truly going to be more fun than it was at times last year. And that's partially going to be because of Hugh Freeze. And that's partially going to be because of new OC Philip Montgomery. So If you did not catch our article over at auburndaily.com about Montgomery and O'Gara's comments about him, again, auburndaily.com, you can go check it out and read that story over there. And that's going to do it for today's episode of the Auburn Daily Show. You can follow Zach and I on Twitter at ZBlackerby, at LanceDahl_. You can also follow all of our written work again over at auburndaily.com. Follow us on socials on Twitter at the Auburn Daily. You can also find us on Facebook as well. We will be back tomorrow with another episode of the Auburn Daily Show. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day.